you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time all over the place. We've got you on Twitter, ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Everywhere that you're consuming social media, you can find us right here, including the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed of today's podcast, it's presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, we say hello, second day of the show, and we're going to start off with a mea culpa. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Mike Clay also joining us in just a moment. But for those of you that are like, where was the show yesterday? You checked your podcast feed? Our bad, technical issues prevented us from having a show yesterday, but we are going to be back and better than ever today. So for those of you...
But you know what? The truth is that what I think we should do here is so we have a lost episode now,
right,
Field? We have a lost episode. And so sure. I think what we should talk about is the truth is that I feel bad for the fans. Because truly, in the 13 years we've done the Fantasy Focus podcast, yesterday's was literally the best episode.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It was like from moment one till the end of it, chock full of fantasy nuggets,
knee
like
slappers.
Incredible insight, amazing jokes, great chemistry, literally the best episode in 13 years.
Right.
And so I think what we need to do is like we just need to talk about this last episode, really build it up, like make it mythical. And then, maybe like whatever, 10 years from now, you know, some guy's going to claim that he has like a, you know, he has an NFT of the one
audio
episode.
Somewhere.
And then it's somewhere. It's some sort of crypto pod and it's going to, you know, sell on eBay like the only copy of the famous lost episode of the 06010.
For like at least $9 on eBay.
I mean, like, listen, the way crypto is going,
might be 15
12
bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, like seriously, like but we need to build this up. We got it. Like Secret Squirrel, get with a plan here. We got it. Yeah. Like the lost episode. How good was the lost episode?
It was incredible.
Oh my, God.
Oh my gosh. It
you
was so
You guys missed
good.
Out on yeah. such an amazing
it was
episode.
Amazing. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, we're here most every day, I think. Mike Clay is here with us today though, which is great to have Mike Clay here. Mike, how are you?
I'm pretty good, and as you guys discussed yesterday, obviously most people didn't hear it, but those that did know that you talked a little bit about me, a lot of positive things, and I really think we should go back and discuss that a little bit. I want to hear a lot of
really
positive
things. We're really running short on time, Field. Do you want to get in the A block real quick?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is tough.
I want to hear that. I think we should recap all of that, please.
Here's one of the things we did miss. Like I'll do a little housekeeping for you right here.
Yeah.
Is that we are going to be here live every single day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, and you can watch us do it live. And by us, I really mean somebody from ESPN. Me in front of a live microphone is always dangerous. It's always dicey.
Right.
It's always like I'm living minute to minute. But somebody from ESPN will be in front of a live microphone Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, and you can see it on the ESPN YouTube channel, on the ESPN app, on the ESPN's Fantasy Football, on the Facebook page for ESPN Fantasy.
All over the place.
On Twitter, at Fantasy Focus. Hopefully at the ESPN Fantasy app as well.
I
believe that'll happen soon if it isn't already. So a lot of places that you can check it out, and of course then you can always listen to it wherever you get your podcasts.
That is correct. So again, every single day we'll be here all the way through the fantasy football regular season, which as you know is 18 weeks this year with the NFL's institution of a 17th game for every team. Yesterday during the show, separate and apart from the fact that the audio is somewhere stranded in its incredible, infamous glory, we also got late breaking news about Carson Wentz, and we wanted to give it a little bit more time today because
sure.
we found this out late in the show. Carson Wentz is going to miss between 5 and 12 weeks after electing to have surgery, despite reporting on Sunday that like surgery was not going to happen. So things do change fast. He's out for 5 to 12 weeks. It sounds
like a wide range, by the way.
It is. And I think that's specific by the Colts, right? Best case scenario is 5, but maybe the more realistic scenario, Matthew, is closer to 12.
Right.
Is there fantasy impact on the Colts passing game because of this injury?
Yeah, I think you can
Minimal
ignore
though?
Them.
Okay.
Like, here's the thing. Like, so I put out like this is a tweet that I put out yesterday at Matthew Berry TMR, by the way, and I said like basically, Jonathan Taylor, Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah.
There, bingo. That's the list of Colts you're drafting now in an ESPN standard league, a standard 10-team league, one quarterback league, and like I mean. We'll see if Jacob Eason, you know, brings anything, or Brett Hundley, or whoever winds up starting a quarterback for the Colts when the season starts. But Like, that's it. And I got a lot of people saying, like, what about Michael Pittman? Oh, you're sleeping on Paris Campbell. Like, and I'm like, well, guess what? Yeah, and T.Y. Hilton is still around there, and the Zach Pascal. Like, I don't know that there's going to be anyone. Like, do I think Michael Pittman has talent? Of course I do.
Right.
Right? And Paris Campbell has flashed in the few moments that he's been healthy during his NFL career, and loved him at Ohio State. But, like, until, like, are any of those guys anything more than a late-round flyer? They're not. And there's so many good sort of late-round wide receiver flyers that I'd rather go with somebody that has a better quarterback and a more pass-friendly offense, because I think the Colts are going to do what the Colts did last year, which is they're going to run the ball and they're going to play good defense.
This harkens back to last year. Yes. We talked about the bucket of flyers, the late-round bucket of flyers, where we would talk about Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell and all these guys that could be great late-round flyers, along with the 60 other wide receivers right. that could be great late-round flyers. The other part of this, though, that I asked you about yesterday was whether it has any impact whatsoever on Jonathan Taylor.
Do you disagree on any of that?
No, like,
do you like Michael Pittman?
Colts, yeah, I mean, yeah. If I had to, and I think you would say as much as well, if I'm taking any of those Colts wide receivers, who I'm saying to myself, it's possible this guy's just that good that I could be throwing to him and he could have a fantasy relevant season.
Right.
It's clearly Michael Pittman Jr. However, his stock went down yesterday, given the fact that it could be that Carson Wentz is not throwing until middle of October for the Colts. I mean, that's right. 12 weeks would be middle of October. And if it's Brett Hundley, with all due respect, or Jacob Eason, there's a reason why neither of those guys, well, Eason's a young player, but there's a reason why Hundley has only started in desperate situations. That was, of course, when Aaron Rodgers was previously hurt and he was playing for Green Bay.
Is there a chance they call the kid from Denver? What's his name?
Drew Lock?
The practice squad wide receiver.
Oh, Kendall Hinton?
Kendall Hinton. Thank you. I couldn't remember his name. That poor kid.
Yeah,
that poor kid.
Yeah, he completed the pass.
Come on, give him a shot.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That guy deserves a shot in the NFL.
He deserves at least to stay on the roster for the Broncos for one more season. Yeah. As Chris Mortensen noted yesterday on Twitter, the Colts are not planning to trade for someone like Nick Foles or Marcus Mariota right now. So it sounds like they're thinking in-house before they are outside options. But Jonathan Taylor,
is there any chance, mm-hmm. I'll just throw this out to you, NFL insider Field Yates, put on your NFL insider hat.
Yeah.
By the way, Field Yates hosting NFL Live again today. Check that out at ESPN. But is there any chance they call Philip Rivers and say, hey, man, can you throw him on for 5 to 12 weeks?
I know.
One more time, come help us out?
Here's the only reason why I say
no. I saw that floating around on Twitter a little bit.
Probably three reasons why I say no. One is that you're not getting Philip to come back for like $5 million, right?
Right.
The going rate for Philip is $25 million, which is what you paid him last year, and he was good, obviously.
Yeah.
Second of all, if you're signing Philip Rivers, you're not saying like, hey, can we get you for 5 to 12 weeks? Can we get you for the entire season? And Philip may say, or Carson may be like, all right, hold on now. Like,
you
just traded for me. So the answer is no. I would be very surprised if they bring back Philip Rivers. But I want to wrap this up by asking about Jonathan Taylor.
Sure.
He's going right now 10th overall, back of the first round.
Yeah.
Does the potential absence of Carson Wentz for the beginning, maybe all the way to like the midpoint of the season, have a negative impact on Jonathan Taylor? Or is there enough proof in the pudding that good fantasy running back play is not dependent upon good quarterback play?
No, I don't think so. Look, I have Jonathan Taylor lowest among the rankers. Like,
yeah.
I'm at running back 11. So he's somebody that I'm not going to wind up with in very many drafts. He'll go before I can take him. So, look, do I think the offense suddenly becomes a little bit less efficient? I do. You know, Jonathan Taylor, obviously, very talented player, got a lot of run last year, but we still don't know how this looks now that Marlon Mack is back healthy. Is it more of a three-headed monster, and do they lean on that run game more? My expectation here is that, look, Jonathan Taylor was already due for a large workload, and without Carson Wentz, they're going to lean on the run game more. So maybe this actually means more Marlon Mack,
right?
You know, and that But the fact is that I don't believe that the Wentz injury hurts Jonathan Taylor, but I don't think it helps him either, because I do think the offense is going to be less efficient. I think they're going to be in scoring position less often.
I say the big thing for me with Jonathan Taylor is I'm going to keep it simple. He's really good. He's
incredibly
talented. He was RB4 last year, and I get it. Some of that was aided by the soft schedule down the stretch, but this is a talent hedge by me behind a great offensive line for Jonathan Taylor.
And he's going to get a ton of workload.
Yes, he should. He should be very, very busy this year. As you know, during the summer, we like to do mock drafts amongst the ESPN fantasy staffers. We've done a handful of them so far over the past couple of months. We've been doing all kinds of different formats, 10-team PPR, half-point PPR, 12 teams, you name it. We're sort of trying to make sure that we accommodate those who don't just play in only 10-team PPR leagues. The values do sometimes end up being similar. So we thought that what we would do is overview one of our most recent mock drafts and sort of give you a view of where players that are notable for one reason or another were being selected and some insight onto how those shook out and why they shook out that way. Saquon Barkley, whose average draft position right now is sixth overall, fifth amongst running backs, behind, believe it or not, Travis Kelce, went, in this case, again, fourth. My bad, I'm misreading this. He went fourth in our most recent July mock draft. Matthew, you're lowest on him at 9 amongst all running backs. Mike is highest on at him on 3. I'll be the deciding vote in a minute here. I'll let you make the case, though. 9 is, you're not screaming pessimism for Saquon Barkley, but that means you are placing others. I don't know exactly who you have, whether it's an Aaron Jones or a Nick Chubb or somebody of that caliber.
Higher.
Okay.
So, I have Eckler, Aaron Jones, and Nick Chubb all ahead of Saquon Barkley. So those are the ones that I think would raise eyebrows.
Okay. So of the, again, relative, tiny concerns. Yeah, what are those right now, Saquon?
They're injury concerns.
Okay.
They're injury. I mean, like, out of the 48 possible games that Saquon Barkley could have played in his NFL career,
okay,
he's finished 30 of them.
Wow.
I mean, like, he's missed an entire NFL season under the new format.
Right,
I mean,
he's missed
18. He's played 31 games, and the 31st game, of course, is the one that he left early last year, game two. Now, obviously, a lot of that was last year where he missed 14 games. He only completed one, but he missed 3 games his sophomore year as well. And he's currently on the physically unable to perform list, right? He's currently on the PUP list. Yep. Will he start the season there? I don't know.
I would be surprised because that would put him out for the first 6 weeks.
Right. I would be surprised as well. But is there a chance they ease him back in? I know Stefania has some concerns as well. And
yeah, for sure.
When Stefania has concerns, I have concerns.
Right. It is like
osmosis. That's basically my analysis.
Right. That's like very nuanced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's your concern? Well, Stefania has concerns.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that's how I do my research. Hey, Stefania, what do you think about Saquon Barkley? And then I listen. Yeah. And then, you know what I mean? Like, so, no, in all seriousness, like, to me, and I'm a big believer in this field, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast over the years, I'm a big believer of you can't win your draft in the first round, you can lose it.
Yep.
I want safe, I want floor in the first round, and I think at the moment, until we have a better sense of how healthy Saquon is, I think Austin Eckler, I think Aaron Jones, I think Nick Chubb are all safer, to me.
Yeah, it's really not that crazy of a thought to have him at 9, but I do want to hear Mike's counterpoint, and I'll give you the reason why settled at 6. So, Mike, you have Saquon Barkley at 3 overall, which I believe assumes that he'll play all 16 games. You, of course, have
17 games,
projections, of course, so you can give us the exact outlook. But tell us more about why you have Saquon at 3.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not going to say anything crazy here. It's all about that workload when he is a full go. So, I actually, with the projections that you see on the site, I have him projected to start slower, right? A little more Devontae Booker. They just signed Alfred Morris. Maybe he gets a few touches as well.
1 point.
So a slow start, and then he really gets rolling after that. I think the goal for them certainly is that within a few weeks, this is going to be a guy that's pushing for 25 touches a game. I mean, look at week one last year. 88% of the snaps, and what was it, 9 targets, 15 carries in that game. When he has played and been a full go, he has been a fantasy superstar. Really, I think the only guy other than maybe Dalvin Cook who can push CMC for that top spot right now. So that's really the idea here, is that even with the slow start, he can pay off in a big way, be a league winner. And if I can get him, guys, in the mid to late stages of the first round, I'm going to take that every time.
Okay, so
I don't disagree with that. Can I ask Mike a question, though, real quick?
Please, yeah.
Mike, is there concern from you that if he does have this much of a heavy workload, that there's concern for re-injury? Right? You know, so I mean, like, Stefania's talked about players the year after an ACL. We've talked about this. We talked about this with Dalvin Cook the year after his ACL. Like, it takes a while for players to get that explosiveness back. And so is there a concern on both the workload? Like, A, maybe the Giants don't give him that big workload for the entire year to keep him safe. Also, by the way, they just paid $72 million for Kenny Golladay, who left practice early today. We'll see what happens there. But assuming, you know, health of Kenny Golladay and the rest of the pass catchers, is it a more balanced offense than Saquon-centric? And if they do give him the workload that you project, is there a chance that he breaks down again or just doesn't have the explosiveness that we've seen from him like his rookie year when he had these crazy 50-yard runs for touchdowns?
Well, I mean, he's only 24, so I'm not too worried about that. I still think we could still see him play at a high level. And look, I think that there's definitely some concerns there, but at the same time, if there were major concerns, they would have aimed higher, I think, than Devontae Booker and Alfred Morris as a second guy, perhaps in the draft, perhaps in free agency.
Wow.
All due respect to those guys, I think maybe they aim a little higher.
You take that back. back.
And look, also, you know, you think about the other guys in that range that you're picking, a lot of them have concerns too. I mean, Austin Eckler has a very limited ceiling at the goal line and as a ball carrier, and Alvin Kamara is the quarterback change, and he's coming off a big workload last year in a big season. It's hard to repeat those sort of numbers. Derrick Henry is going to be 28. We haven't seen a lot of success from guys that age the past few seasons in the NFL. That workload's going to catch up to him. Zeke Elliott, massive workload going all the way back to college. So, I mean, I think you could pick apart all of these guys, be worried about a lot of different things. When it comes down to it, though, he's still young, and he's still, I think, going to be one of the few full-on Belichows once he is a full go. And even if he drops from 85% to 70%, that's still a massive number. So I'm willing to take that chance in the mid to late stages of the first round that I'm going to get a guy that's going to be a league winner.
As stated, I'm right in the middle of you two. And as the reason why is sort of half of what Matthew said and half of what Mike said. So I would view myself as there to be six top-tier running backs this year in fantasy. In some order, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott. Those are my six. I have Saquon at the bottom of those six, the reason being the possibility that he either starts slow or that the Giants work to be crafty about not pushing him to 320 carries this year. Maybe it's 275. That's why I have him at the bottom of that six. But the reason why I don't have him below players like Austin Eckler, and you said Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones, right?
Yeah, at the moment. And by the way, if Saquon looks healthy in the preseason, I'll move him up a little bit. But at the moment, that's why I have him there.
People, we're talking about RB6 versus RB7.
I'm not trying
to decry the merits of these guys too much, but Mike noted Austin Eckler's goal line work. Aaron Jones, we know A.J. Dillon's going to be a big part of that offense.
Sure.
He was down the stretch last year, even with Jamal Williams gone. And then with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt's a huge part of their passing game, and Nick Chubb not nearly as involved as we think the peak version of Saquon could be. So just perspective, interesting food for thought there. One more player on the mock before we take a quick break.
I am a crazy Austin Eckler fan. I admit to being, a crazy Austin Eckler fan, an Austin Eckler defender. And just to Mike's point, I will say Jason Garrett does have a weird, the way I feel about Austin Eckler, I think Jason Garrett feels about Alfred Morris, who, remember, played for him in Dallas for a number of years. Yeah. Jason Garrett does not have the same opinion of Alfred Morris that Mike Clay does. I'll just leave it at that.
That is fair. So Travis Kelce, one of the more interesting players in this year's first round, because we know he is, in most drafts, going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
The question is, how high? Should he be going against ahead of any of those top-tier running backs? The six that I mentioned, and maybe even those three that Matthew mentioned. In this most recent mock draft, he went eighth. I'm 98% sure that was me who had that eighth overall pick. So I took Travis Kelce over the likes of a top-tier wide receiver, whether it was Stephon Diggs. This was before the Aaron Rodgers news, so Devontae Adams wasn't as much of a consideration for me over a guy like Nick Chubb or Austin Eckler or players of that caliber. And I think what we know about Travis Kelce, and we said this last year, I'll never forget the video. I remember us talking about it, posting the video. It's just a fact. He's the most consistent player in fantasy football, regardless of position. And the argument against Travis Kelce is only this. Hey, he's whatever on the wrong side of 30. I think he's already been on the wrong side of 30 for a year. I think he's 31 or 32, right? And I understand things can happen like that in the NFL, but he showed no signs of slowing down. The Chiefs this offseason made no major investment in skill players that should take away any of the middle-of-the-field work for Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes did not retire this offseason. To me, that's reason enough that if you take Travis Kelce as high as pick 5, pick 6, pick 7, pick 8, for me, the sweet spot is around 8, but if it happens to pick 5, I'm not going to tell you what kind of a pick was that.
He's not getting out of the first round in any league where people know what they're doing.
Right.
He's not getting out of the first round in any league where people know what they're doing. The three of us and Daniel all played in the Scott Fish Bowl, big charity tournament that we've talked about on this show before. That in that particular league, it's called tight end premium scoring. So it's half point PPR, but tight ends get a point per reception. So tight ends are more valuable in that league. Travis Kelce went number one overall in a number of the
leagues.
Many
of the leagues, yeah.
In many of the leagues.
I got him at 3, and I was stunned.
Me too.
I'm surprised about there because and he was the consensus. I don't think he got past 3 in most leagues. It was either Mahomes, because it's also a two-quarterback league, Chris McCaffrey, or Travis Kelce. You talk about Money in the Bank, just a couple of stats to back that up. 5 straight seasons with at least 80 catches and 1,000 receiving yards, at least 8 touchdown catches in 3 of the last 4. He's missed 2 games.
Yeah, so he never missed a game. It wasn't one of them when they just sat out because the starters were out?
Yeah, exactly. Like a week 17 kind of thing. Exactly. I mean, like, I agree with you. He is the closest thing to Money in the Bank as there is in fantasy football. I don't mind him going. Once you get past, to your point, it depends on sort of how you feel about the running backs. I am running back heavy at the top of the draft, especially given the depth of the position at wide receiver. But once you get past whatever level of comfort, like you said, you think there are six. Once you get past whether it's five or six or four, however you feel, Travis Kelce is absolutely a consideration. It's one of the things I go into in my draft day manifesto, which comes out Thursday.
All right, man.
A lot of negotiation behind the scenes about that, but very excited to announce we have a release date for it. Is this Thursday, and it will be free.
It will be free,
100% free.
For free.
So the Draft Day Manifesto drops on Thursday, the 2021 really, version.
Really quickly, just want to say, as we were talking about it, Travis Kelce is 31. He will turn 32 on October 5th. So.
Okay. Yeah, and last thing we didn't say, but I think it's people probably know this as well, is that separate and apart from all the things we've talked about, if you care about positional edge, you're getting a massive positional edge over the next best player. He was nearly 2.5 points, or excuse me, a little over 2 points per game better last year. So against an average tight end, you might be basically walking into your matchup with a 7, 8, or 10 point advantage. We're going to talk about the Rams running backs in just a second, but a couple of words, beginning with those from Geico, because I have a really important question. Do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Yeah, sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Actually, I know it is. But you know it's easy bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And the real reason why yesterday's podcast was so electric, Daniel, was the Gum Out live read.
You know what? Yeah, we missed. Oh, man, now I'm really upset.
I know. It was real good, too.
It's available on the live stream. Go watch that on demand.
I don't think it is, actually.
I don't think it is. I think we came in just afterwards, unfortunately. But Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gum Out. Today, we're talking about performance enhancement. Everyone wants it. And let's face it, some people are looking for shortcuts for it. You can actually get enhanced performance.
You know who wants performance enhancement?
I think you do, Matthew
Berry. Well, my wife, candidly.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, good luck for her because you can you can get enhanced performance in just 2 minutes, Matthew.
Wow.
2 minutes.
That is helpful.
Twice a year, even.
Wow. Even more helpful.
With Gum Out with Carbon Clear, it's performance enhancement for your car.
Yeah. When I said my wife would like that for me is what she calls her car.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Carbon Clear is potent. It is the most advanced fuel additive on the market. In fact, cars on Gum Out get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. Plus, it only takes 2 minutes to pour Gum Out into a tank of gas. Matthew Berry knows that. So it's quick and easy to use. With all the things you deal with to get your car running smoothly, it's nice to know that Gum Out takes no time at all. You probably take much longer deciding who to put in your lineup each week. It's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running with Gum Out. Now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
Back now with more thoughts from the mock draft. Again, it's available on ESPN Plus if you want to go check that out. And on July 20th, we found out that Cam Akers tore his Achilles. Mm. That obviously has a direct impact on the rest of the Rams offense, specifically Darrell Henderson, who we believe is going to be the presumptive starter in the backfield. Worth noting, in recent days, there's been some chatter about a potential committee approach. Sean McVay has not been afraid of a committee in the past. In the July mock, Darrell Henderson went RB21. That was 38th overall. Mike Clay, you were on the clock with the chance to take Darrell Henderson. And while we don't need to make this like Darrell Henderson versus Josh Jacobs conversation or every other running back, what was the thinking there as you went with Josh Jacobs instead of Henderson? And what's your outlook on Henderson this season?
Yeah, so I think I'm a little bit more optimistic than some on Jacobs. Just, you know, he's still a very good young player, going to play a big role in Las Vegas. As for Henderson, I mean, we've talked about him before on the show. I'm high on the talent. I like the player. He's still very young. He has a terrific opportunity. But, you know, the concern here is really ceiling, because you just talked about them potentially using a committee. I think they will. And the reason why is we got a preview of this last season. Cam Akers was out or extremely limited in 7 games. And if you look at the usage there for Henderson, 96 carries, only 16 targets. He was RB20, and he was all over the place. He had three, I think it was top 10 weeks. Otherwise, he really struggled. So the lack of passing game work, the lack of commitment to him so far, the durability concern so far, that's what concerns me. But at the same time, it's a Sean McVay offense. It's been really good to running backs, especially near the goal line. And right now, he doesn't have any major competition. So you have to kind of consider both of those things when you're making a decision. For me, guys, he's a borderline RB2, I like him a little bit more in non-PPR.
Yeah, Mike, I will say this. I mentioned this on the show yesterday. Again, electric, dynamic show.
The greatest loss. It's a shame that it was lost because we literally said to Secret Squirrel, like, just ship that right now to the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Yeah. And it was just like, they've already called and asked for it.
How is ESPN going to celebrate it 20 years from now? Are we going to do like a special, like a full day of
30
coverage?
30 for 30.
Yeah. 30 for 30. That would be nice.
What if I told you there was one podcast that changed the world?
That didn't change the world because it was never aired.
It was never aired.
Oh, my gosh.
It could have changed the world.
It could have changed the world.
There could have been so many things
could
different.
Could have been like Wild Stallions.
From wow. Yeah, that was good. No, I got it. Yeah, that was good. I liked it.
What I mentioned yesterday was we all agree. Now, I think you and I were in lockstep on this. Like, we all think Daryl Henderson's such a really talented guy. I think sometimes NFL teams get too reticent to give a running back the job because they're trying to be protective of him, the workload, or fearful that he can't necessarily hold up for the course of the season. I think there's sort of two outcomes for Daryl Henderson. One is he proves the Rams way wrong and he kicks tail and he's amazing and you're like, whoa, whoa. Not why do they draft Cam Akers, but they have their answer. They have two star running backs on their roster. The other option is he looks good through 5 weeks and then twists an ankle, bangs up a knee, you name it. He's going to be limited over the next 3 to 5 weeks, and all of a sudden it becomes a committee again. I don't see necessarily like an in-between spot there for Daryl Henderson.
Unless Funk comes on, the funk.
But he does feel like he does feel for now. And I say for now because I still wouldn't be surprised if this team addressed the running back spot at some point at the end of training camp when players are available through trade and the waiver wire. Wouldn't surprise me if Daryl Henderson remains the guy up until that point. He is the guy going into that point.
100%. I mean, like, listen, if, like, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, like, I don't know if there's going to be a love-hate this year, but if there is a love-hate, Josh Jacobs will be on the hate list. So I have more concerns than Mike does on Josh Jacobs in terms of still has no passing game usage. I do think Kenyon Drake is going to take a decent amount of touches. I have concerns about what his numbers look like when the Raiders were trailing last year, and they have a tough schedule this year. But yes, not to make this a Jacobs versus Henderson thing, but had I been in the same spot Mike was in this mock, I was on vacation when you guys did this, so I'm not in this mock draft, I would have taken Daryl Henderson. My counter to what Mike said about, you know, sort of the inconsistency last year is I think that was a different team. So first off, it was their first year without Todd Gurley. They had Malcolm Brown on the roster, who they liked a lot. They had drafted Cam Akers. They come to the season now. Obviously, Malcolm Brown's in Miami. Cam Akers is out for the year. They don't have a lot of depth behind him. Daryl Henderson, when he got a shot last year, did have some real flashes. You and I both agree. He is a good player. Last year, when he got 12 or more touches in a game, there were six different times last year when he got 12 or more touches in a game, Daryl Henderson averaged 14.3 fantasy points per game. Pretty good. And my expectation is this offense is going to be a lot better under Matthew Stafford than it was under Jared Goff. I think the offensive line is better than it was last year. So I'm in on Daryl Henderson as a mid-tier RB2. I'm at running back 16, and I think there's a very good chance that he exceeds that a year from now when we're talking about him a year from now.
When you're
the starting running back of a McVay offense, you have top five upside.
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know about top five this year, but maybe top
Matthew
12.
Stafford isn't going to get them in the red zone all the time.
All the time.
And Daryl Henderson is going to score a ton of touchdowns.
There you go. Okay.
Since Sean McVay became the head coach of the Rams, they are third in red zone rush rate.
Yeah, they do love to run the ball in red zone.
And obviously a lot of that is Todd Gurley influenced,
right?
But still,
they had a tremendous run during Gurley's apex.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, but Sean McVay likes to run when he gets in close.
So we know there's a three-man tier at the top of the tight end position. It's really a one-person tier of Travis Kelce and then a two-person tier of Darren Waller versus George Kittle. I'm not sure it really matters which one goes ahead of the other, Matthew. I mean, if you look at the mocks, the past three mocks we did, Kittle went 28th, Waller 32nd, Kittle went 30th, Waller 36th. Third one, Waller 28th, Kittle 30th. They're going within a handful of spots of each other. I'm not really here to debate whether either of them deserves to go ahead of the other one.
What if I am? What if I'm ready to go to the wall for Darren Waller?
Okay, you can. Go for it. Go to the wall.
I just think what he did over the second half of last year was amazing. And so you look at the situation in Las Vegas, it's basically the same. They lose Nelson Agholor. They gain Kenyon Drake in terms of major offseason moves. But in essence, the offense is the same. The coaching staff is the same. The quarterback is the same. And you could argue that Agholor leaving actually helps Darren Waller, right?
Right.
There's somebody who got a lot of targets last year in the passing game who's not there. As for George Kittle, who has one of the toughest guys in the NFL, not questioning the man's toughness at all, like one of the most tough guys in the NFL. But certainly, because of the physical nature of his style of play, he has been banged up over the course of his career. There are questions at the quarterback position. Brandon Ayuk became a thing last year. They're going to get Deebo Samuel back last year. Am I saying George Kittle's not going to get a ton of targets? Of course he is.
Yeah.
But my question is that I think there's a lot more unknown about what the 49ers offense looks like this year. They added Trey Sermon, and they want to run a lot this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot more unknown about the 49ers offense this year than there was Darren Waller. Do I think George Kittle has a great year? I do. He's my tight end three, and I don't have him much below Darren Waller in the overall ranks, but I do think there is a clear, to me, Darren Waller is the clear number two.
I have him ranked second as well. I don't know that it's quite as clear. I think we do tend to forget just how absurd George Kittle was.
He's
in 2018 amazing. And 2019. I want to come back to the tight ends for 1 second in just a moment, but flag this thought. We should get a counter going of how many times I say this during the preseason. Brandon Ayuk, my breakout star of the NFL in 2021.
Yes.
Flag that one there. Yes. But back to George Kittle.
Hasn't he already broken out a
dude,
little
go
bit?
Look at the numbers.
How are we defining breakout?
Same thing we always say. Just like a major step forward this year. He was hurt for quite a while last year.
Over the second half of the season, that guy was a monster.
Okay, I'm just telling you. Like,
okay.
I think
just saying.
Even
that guy won Seth Markman the War Room League.
I'm ready for it.
Even better this year is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Big step forward here for Brandon Ayuk. But the question I really wanted to ask about Waller and Kittle is there merit to these players actually going earlier than the middle of the third round or the late part of the third round? And here's the reason why. While Kelce provides a clear and obvious advantage over your position relative to basically every other tight end in the NFL, including even these two, Matthew, I think there's a chance that if these guys are on the field for most of the year, that they could still be a pretty big gap ahead of most tight ends you're facing. Like, I know T.J. Hockenson is going to have a good year, Mark Andrews and a couple other guys, maybe one of the two Patriots tight ends. But in the weeks in which you're not playing against like one of those core five, six other tight ends, these players could present you with a bigger edge than what you're going to get when you're drafting one of the many great wide receivers who could be talented, who also could finish as like a top 25 guy as opposed to a top 12 guy. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, and I totally agree with it, actually, by the way. You have a pick in the top five or six, right? And so let's say you start Derrick Henry.
Right.
Like, you know, you get Henry or Kamara like at like pick four, and then you come back around in the second, and you get like Waller or Kittle. Like, somebody very good in the third round is going to be there if you want, like, either
Brandon Ayuk.
I don't think you need to reach for Brandon Ayuk there. But listen, like, A.J. Brown will probably be there.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Somebody,
other players.
Like,
yeah.
Somebody, yeah, like, there'll be a very good wide Allen Robinson will be there, right? You know,
sure.
I have Terry McLaurin as a top 10 wide receiver this year. Like, he'll be there. Like, guys like that, if not even higher. So I have no problem with a running back Waller/Kittle start. Or honestly, I've seen some people, depending on your league, just going weird and getting Kittle, going like Kelce and one of the two guys.
Wow.
Starting tight end.
Basically like
and just like
trade
yeah,
one of them,
preparing,
or flex them.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could flex them, exactly. And obviously in tight end premium, I've seen that as well. I did a best ball draft where I started like that. My team was sort of interesting there. But the idea there is, for me, I don't have a problem with that at all, because you do have an advantage there, and there is so much depth, especially if you get a star running back with your first pick. Having one of those guys as your second, you'll get a very good wide receiver. And again, like, I think there's enough sort of mid-tier RB2s that you can get in the fourth round, especially in a 10-team league. So I like the call quite a bit.
I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit here to the quarterbacks, only because we're going to talk about tight ends a good, healthy amount during the preseason. And I don't want to have the when does the first quarterback come off the board conversation every day, because I think that our thoughts have been pretty consistent over the years. There's going to be a huge difference between where a quarterback goes first in our mock drafts versus where a quarterback goes first in almost every other mock draft. Patrick Mahomes' ADP right now is 16th on ESPN, middle of the second round. In the May mock, 48th. In the June mock, 41st. In the July mock, 49th. fifth round at earliest for Patrick Mahomes. So I said yesterday on the show, again, historic show, about how every year we're introducing a lot of the same people that have, are reinviting some of the same people back into our homes, or I guess we're going to their homes or their cars or wherever they put their podcasts. But we're also trying to make sure that we spread the wealth and, you know, introduce new fantasy football audiences. We want this game to grow exponentially like it has. So I don't want to just brush over things that have sort of been set in stone for years. So let's talk about this for a second. Matthew, why are you so patient? Why is ESPN Fantasy so patient on quarterbacks when ADP suggests that we're 3.5 rounds behind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the people that do this for a living, that are paid to be fantasy analysts and study it 24/7, I think a mock draft among those type of people is very different than a typical home league. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to last to the fifth round in a typical home league, local league, because he's that exciting. He's the face of the NFL. People are going to want Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, I got no issue with it.
Yeah.
For two reasons. Number one is, you know, fantasy is supposed to be fun. And you know what? It's fun having Patrick Mahomes on your roster. Got no issue with that. It's really fun to have Patrick Mahomes on your roster. And by the way, you're not going to lose your league because you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
Right.
Like, that's not going to be a reason why you don't bring home the title. But the reason why is just because of depth of position. And ESPN standard leagues, where you're only having 10 teams play and you only start one quarterback, there's like 20 good quarterbacks. And the difference between Patrick Mahomes and quarterback 12 that you could get, there's a difference between those two players, but the difference is not as significant as the difference between some of the top upper tier running backs and the lower tier running backs, as we talked about the difference between Kelsey and then Waller Kittle and the rest of the tight ends. There's significant differences at the other positions than there is between like Mahomes and, you know, somebody that you could, whatever, Tom Brady, who's going like eighth.
Right. There were a couple players before the show that you were like, they were quarterbacks, and you're like, you don't have that guy ranked. And I'm thinking to myself, my first instinct was like, yeah, I don't have that player ranked. And
right.
I was like, it's not that crazy because there are that many capable quarterbacks. So just some context on where Aaron Rodgers, speaking of quarterbacks, and Devontae Adams landed in this draft. And a reminder, again, this mock draft was concluded just prior to Aaron. No, it wasn't. It was take that back. It was after Aaron Rodgers, the dust had settled on his situation. As a result
he returned to work.
He showed back up to work. He got a new contract. Devontae Adams, he's back. No new contract for Devontae, but he's all good. Mike, I'm going to ask you this question because we talk about the great depth of wide receiver every single year. And I think as a result of that, it puts even more pressure to nail some of your early wide receiver picks that you're paying a premium on. And you're paying the ultimate premium right now on Devontae Adams. He went fifth overall in this most recent mock draft. Is there a gap between Devontae Adams and, I would presume, Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs for you, whoever is number two amongst your wide receivers? And if so, how clear is that gap for you?
Well, I think there's a very small gap, but I would still prefer Devontae Adams. I actually flipped those two guys for a while there when we weren't so sure about Aaron Rodgers, but now that he's back, Adams is the clear number one. I mean, you just look at what he did last season, missed 2.5 games, still the wide receiver one in fantasy by 29 points. In fact, if we include the playoffs, he played 15 full games. Guys, he had 20 touchdowns last season, 34% target share. He's been over 30% three straight seasons. So it's not like this is kind of out of nowhere to see that big spike in usage. This guy is a target hog. He's going to hit double digits most weeks. Super talented. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Not a ton of competition there for targets, even with Randall Cobb in the mix. So it should be the Devontae Adams show again this season. For me, he is, again, I don't want to say the clear number one because Tyreek Hill has something to say for sure, but Adams is the guy I'm going to take first every time if I'm picking a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, and I mentioned just a moment ago, you kind of got to nail it if you're paying a premium on those wide receivers. But there is proof of concept that Devontae Adams is safe. I mean, I mentioned earlier how the Colts are going to have to figure it out potentially with Brett Hundley. The year that Devontae Adams had Brett Hundley as his quarterback, the guy had 10 receiving touchdowns. So Brett Hundley, a guy who was unsigned until August 2nd or whatever day it was that he got signed by the Colts, not exactly an all-pro quarterback, Devontae Adams can just make it happen no matter who is under center. Here's an interesting thought. We talked about the depth of quarterbacks. And the depth of quarterback can be shown in a bunch of ways. How about a blind resume? presented by Hotwire. Daniel, what do you have for us here?
Yeah, that's right, Field.
Kind of a new, little new segment action.
Oh, that's right.
Love it.
Over the past two seasons,
okay,
quarterback one is averaging 0.55 points per pass, 8.1 yards per pass, and a 6% touchdown rate. And they are an elite quarterback, a top five quarterback in the league, all right? Okay. Quarterback two, averaging 0.54 points per pass, 8.2 yards per pass, and a 6.4% touchdown rate. That is an NFC quarterback that is rostered in under 20% of leagues right now.
This is over the last 2 years?
Yep, over the last 2 years.
And points per pass, I assume, is fantasy points per
pass. That is correct. Fantasy points per pass.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have a clue on the first one because you said he's a top five quarterback.
Yep.
So I'm kind of using like Josh Allen. I don't know. Is he?
I know the answer because I saw the graphic before the show.
Okay. I have zero clue in either of these.
Oh, you know what, Phil? Why don't you start showing up earlier like Matthew so you can see the graphic before the show?
It'd be nice.
Is that what you call a show? Okay.
It'd be nice if you just wouldn't roll in here at like 10:59.
I would go with Josh Allen is the first one.
Okay.
And I will go with a random NFC quarterback. I will go with, you said less than 20% of rosters. Okay, so Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's actually a pretty good guess. And who would I guess? Because I do think Ryan Fitzpatrick. Does Mike Clay want to take a guess at that?
Mike Clay, you want to take a stab at it?
Yeah, I did. I cheated. But I guessed right. I actually guessed on this last night when I saw it without seeing the names, and I looked it up, and I was right.
Yeah, sure.
So I can't. Wow. At least I think I do.
Wow.
Should I tell you what I think it is?
Go for it.
By the way, Mike, you just lost the nerd test.
Yes, you did.
By the way, not only that you guessed right, but that you looked it up, and that also that you read the note.
All right, QB1 is in fact.
No, go ahead. Let Mike.
You want Mike to do it?
Yeah.
I think it's Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins.
He's right.
Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins is correct.
But here's the thing, though. Just keep this in mind. I mean, Kirk Cousins' last top 10 fantasy season was in 2017, right? So despite these efficiency stats looking good, I mean, it's obviously a low-volume passing game there in Minnesota, and he doesn't run either. Mahomes had some value with his leg. So, you know, working in Andy Reid's super pass-heavy offense, a huge boost for Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, yeah, I know some people maybe are worried about they're going to take Cousins over Mahomes now, right? I mean,
is that what we're risking? Skewed. It's very skewed.
Don't do that.
To your point, the last time Kirk Cousins was a top 10 fantasy quarterback, he played for Washington, and they used him on those bootlegs, and there was like a run there for like 3 years.
He had six touchdowns every year, right?
Five or six touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. When they get in close, it's going to Dalvin Cook. So, I mean, it's just like he doesn't run the way he used to.
Right.
I'm thinking, though,
I know yesterday's podcast, really dynastic, and it's like,
fantastic.
Did you say it was dynastic?
Actually, it was a dynasty level podcast. But the show note, it was just called GOAT Podcast.
Yeah.
Today's podcast on the title, the thumb page, out there on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, it's just going to be Why Cousins Over Mahomes. We're coming back in just a minute, but first, a couple of words, starting with those from 5-Hour Energy, because do you want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated? Make 5-Hour Energy Shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. We all know that you sometimes don't want to go to the gym. Stick a 5-Hour Energy Shot to give you the feeling and alertness so you can get to the gym. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach, mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. Try them all, and on the site, this is cool, you even have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5-Hour Energy, and that's the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-Hour Energy product today, you can use our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com.
If you ever had to look for a job, you know that it's no picnic. Your eyes are burning from staring at job listings. It takes patience of a saint to fill out every single job application. And when it comes to hearing back about jobs, it's nothing but crickets. Well, ZipRecruiter knows that general experience of looking for a job is pretty sucky, to be honest. That's why they figured out a way to make it unsucky. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com/easy, you can create a free profile. Then you get matched to great jobs, plus a lot more. ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience as well. Pretty fantastic. Unlike with other job sites, if an actual person from the company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. Candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. It's according to 10,000-plus logged-in ZipRecruiter users who reported being hired through ZipRecruiter during September and October of 2020. So sign up for free on ZipRecruiter.com/easy today and experience the better way to find a job. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy right now to sign up absolutely free. ZipRecruiter.com/easy and put ZipRecruiter to work for you.
Daniel, you just talked about a saint like the New Orleans Saints, which brings us to Michael Thomas. I have been working all offseason on two things. One, segues. Two, you know how at the end of car commercials, especially on the radio, that guy reads the end of it in like...
So fast.
I want to do that. I'm just not quite talented enough. I'll work on that.
Yeah.
Maybe by next season. But let's talk about Michael Thomas, the impact of the Michael Thomas news. As we all know, Michael Thomas is on PUP because that ankle injury is still nagging him, Matthew. And the timeline, this comes from Stefania, is there is no timeline. Don't be talking about definitely 1 week, definitely 5 weeks. We don't know right now. But it seems likely, if not certain, he's going to miss the start of the season. Here's the impact in terms of where he was drafted. May mock, 26th. June mock, 29th. July mock, 61st. None of us has him ranked higher than 26. Matthew has him at 35. This goes back to something that I mentioned again previously. I think, honestly, I was so euphoric after yesterday's show because it was so great that I can't remember if we discussed this or not. But the idea was, Matthew, is there some value to jumping ahead of the line on Michael Thomas because you may miss him for 4 weeks, but you could have 13 weeks of top, let's say, 8 to 10 upside? Or are you just going to let somebody else grab Michael Thomas unless he falls to where you have him in your ranks, which is would be wide receiver 35, probably somewhere in that.
Wide receiver 4. You know, and again, obviously, these are all preseason ranks, and they're fluid, and if we get more positive reports and a better sense of a timeline there for Michael Thomas, the rank will change. But there's just too much unknown, and the fact, you know, last year, obviously, he dealt with the injury issue as well. You've got a quarterback change here. Look, do I think the passing offense goes through Michael Thomas? Of course I do. When he's back out and healthy, of course I do, and he's still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But there's obvious concerns about availability, and it's so plentiful. The wide receiver position has so much depth that I don't know that I need to target him. I don't want to go into a draft saying, like, I got to bring out Michael Thomas. Like, right. He's going to be a value this year, and I understand your argument. Your argument is basically like, hey, man, wide receiver is so deep that why not grab him, and then you can sort of backfill. You know, you'll be able to fill in for him until he gets back because the position is so deep. And I don't mind that at all.
Boyd. Yeah, or T. Higgins, right?
Any of those.
Robbie Anderson, yeah, absolutely.
Those guys are all
Amara
great.
Amara St. Brown?
Yeah, maybe not him.
Oh, come on, Matthew! What?
Everyone knows Quintez Cephas is going to the Hall
Dude,
of Fame.
He looked... That catch that he made was that you sent me? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right, sorry.
Anyway, listen, and I still hold the flame for Breshad Perriman. I still like Breshad Perriman. What can I tell you? As we talk about obscure Lions wide receivers. But moving on to players that most people have heard of. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Cortland Sutton has a big bounce back year this year, right? So there's a lot of guys there. So I don't mind the strategy. I just would not want to leave my draft having to count on Michael Thomas. I want him to be he's a nice to have, not a must-have for me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, like, I think
I think he's a value at where he's going in drafts. I don't mind it. You know what I mean? And I certainly don't mind reaching around for him if you think, you know, hey, this is a guy that's going to be, whenever he's healthy, whether it's the second half, even if it's the second half of the season, he is somebody that's going to get 8 to 10 targets a game. Right. And an offense that we think is pretty good, even if it's Taysom Hill under center.
But more so if it's Jameis Winston. We do agree. Like, if Jameis Winston... Because I'm starting to fear the fade this year for Michael Thomas. I don't know, just a couple of just weird vibes between idea that first he's hurt, quarterback play uncertain. But given Jameis's, let's call it carefree nature in playing the quarterback position, I do feel much more comfortable that they're going to air it out much more and perhaps effectively if he's quarterbacking versus if Taysom Hill, who I know the Saints love him, and Sean Payton knows more about quarterback play than I will ever know if I studied it for the rest of my life. But it's a clearly
Sean Payton has forgotten more about quarterback play than either of us will ever know.
Yes, but there is more. It's just a much more conservative nature if Taysom is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when Michael Thomas was out last year, and he was out, I think, you know, basically through week
like
eight or nine, like 2 to 8, 2 to 9, something like that. first 10 weeks of the season, the Saints were top 9 in the NFL in rushing rate.
Right.
Like, they became a run-heavy team, and that was with – not some, you know, like – so if Taysom – my expectation is that they go run-heavy here, that Taysom Hill is going to be the starter, and it's a lot of Kamara, it's a lot of Latavius Murray, and I don't know. So, yeah, again, I have Michael Thomas as a wide receiver 4. I'm at 35. Mike has him at 30, I believe. Field, you have him at 31. You have him at 31. So we all have him as wide receiver 4s. We're all right there, you know, as a higher end wide receiver 4.
Another one of my reminders each year is that I like to think of ranks more in terms of tiers than I do like 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4,
yeah, totally.
5. Because just the idea that like Michael Thomas to me is a player that has the upside to be a wide receiver 1, but you know, if he's only playing half the season, you have to bake that in there. It's not like him versus I don't even know who I have ranked 30th at wide receiver, but those two players probably have very comparable average outlooks for me for the entire season. We got a few more things to get to, and Brandon Cooks, Texans wide receiver, probably the most notable player that you have on that Texans roster that we think is going to be a part of their season this year for sure. May Mock, 57th overall. June Mock, 74th overall. July Mock, 96th overall, and that's obviously a plummeting ADP. It's 82nd overall on ESPN, wide receiver 34. It is a little before noon on Tuesday, August 3rd. There is a lot more that we don't know about what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson and his future than we do know right now. There's no easy way to talk about Deshaun Watson from a fantasy football perspective. All we can say for the moment is that we don't believe or we don't know who is going to be the Texans starting quarterback. It feels like it's going to be Tyrod Taylor. And as a result of that, Brandon Cooks and the entire offense has a much different outlook. Matthew, he is a player that, you know, sort of like fantasy football Twitter has kind of grown to know that, like, every year he tends to outperform his ADP.
1,000%.
A little bit overlooked. Is he being overlooked again this year?
I think so. Like, he's a guy who's had over 1,000 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns in 5 of the last 6 seasons. He had that one year where he had so many concussion issues and it was just a tough year for Brandon. But, I mean, he's a good player, and he's had a weird career because he's bounced around to a lot of teams, but a lot of good teams, a lot of smart football coaches have said, I want
the Sean Payton, Patriots, Bill Belichick, and then Sean McVay, right?
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, you're pretty good. Right. So pretty good coaches to have on your resume there. And Kyle here notes last season, 2 Texans had over 50 targets.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. One of them plays for the Miami Dolphins now, obviously. Yeah. And so, listen, it's a new coaching staff. It's a new offensive scheme there in Houston. But when you think about the other players, like how many – this is like we should have a game.
This is a good trivia. Mike.
Right. Mike Clay could
Texans
do it.
5 Texans wide receivers. I bet Mike could do
I could,
it.
I can name 2.
2? I get you to 5, but go ahead. I'll
start off with Chris Conley.
Okay. Mike, who do you got?
We're just listing Texans.
Texans wide receivers Texans that are not named receivers. Brandon Cooks.
Kiki QT.
All right. That's good.
Oh, that's a good one.
You had Chris Conley?
I had Chris Conley.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of like the most obscure that they have that would be Alex Erickson.
There you go.
Kenny Stills, I think, is still there.
Nope, he's
did he get cut?
Yeah, he was on the Bills practice squad at the end of last year. I know.
I thought he came back.
You got any more, Mike?
Isaiah Coulter,
Chris Moore.
Chris Moore's there.
It's like an absolute, like it's
I mean, it's like
a Motley Crue, as they say.
A Motley
right?
Crue. I literally did think Kenny Stills came back. I literally thought they re-signed him.
He's currently unsigned.
Is he currently unsigned?
He's currently unsigned. I was wrong on Kenny Stills. I think that he was ready to go, and they were ready to move on from him.
I would
last
not
year.
Have gotten Isaiah Coulter. Yeah, so that's well done, Mike Clay.
Good job.
Nice job.
Mike. Oh, anyway. How about Anthony Miller? By the way, coming over from Chicago.
Yeah, right. They just got traded. They just traded for Anthony Miller.
It's a very good one.
Right. It's a good one, too.
In any event, yes.
But the point is made, I think, here, is that it's not a bunch of superstars there.
That
I'm not going out on a massive limb to say that Brandon Cooks is the most talented pass catcher that the Texans have, and that they're going to have to throw to someone. And that, honestly, we don't think that defense is going to be very good. We don't think the Texans are going to be very good.
Right.
So there's a chance that, you know, whoever the quarterback is for Houston, that person is going to be throwing a lot. And when you're throwing a lot, you're looking for the most, you know, the most talented guy in the field. That's Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, probably throwing enough is what I would say.
Huh?
I think they might be throwing enough.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, what's his current 80? I mean, like, and he went 96th. He went in the 10th round. Like, I'm at wide receiver 27. I don't know. I mean, like.
Yeah. Good player. Very fast. Can turn something into nothing or nothing into something.
Right. Like, yeah. No one ever likes Brandon Cooks, and yet, to your point, every year, Brandon Cooks outperforms his ADP.
Also, for me, there's just something knowing that I could get Brandon Cooks so late. Give me the wide receiver one on even a bad team, because I feel like I'd rather have that than, like, a wide receiver three on a different team, because if they're going to throw so much, if they're going to be down, you know he's at least going to get targets. He's going to be on the field. There's going to be that opportunity.
Could be
that's
a lot
there.
Of junk time this year. A lot of junk time.
That's my point. A lot of junk time for that team. And jokes aside, like, you know he's the number one. Daniel's point about a number one wide receiver on a bad team, like, you know he's the number one. Like, I don't know who the number one is on Detroit. Like,
I'm not trying to take a shot at you, but
like, and just, you think about, quote, bad teams. Like, who's the number one on the Jets? Is it Corey Davis? Could it be Jamison Crowder who's back
Elijah
there?
Moore, probably.
Elijah Moore is lighting up camp. But do you understand? Like, I mean, like, we don't know yet who the, quote, number one alpha dog is in the Jets offense or the Lions offense. It's going to be Brandon Cooks in the Texans, to my point.
Yeah, that's well said. Let's wrap it up here with DeVonta Smith quickly, and a little bit of an update, too. So DeVonta Smith, as we found out yesterday through Shefty,
it was amazing. Like, Shefty broke the news on our air.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He came on the show. He actually came into the studio to tell us.
It was, he ran in. It was just part of that amazing Lost episode. I wish you guys could have seen it.
Part of the reason.
Shefty was on fire, and it was just a wonderful moment.
DeVonta called in. Like, that was really humble of DeVonta to call into the show and just say, like, I'm good, guys. Like, Shefty's information is accurate. I'm all good. Like, don't worry about me. I'll be back stronger than ever.
That was great, too.
So what Shefty reported that DeVonta confirmed in this episode that, again, I don't know where it is. It's somewhere out there.
It's Lost.
It's in the outer space. Is that he's got a sprained MCL. He's going to likely miss 2 to 3 weeks. This year, last year we had a lot of rookie wide receivers that we were excited about. This year we feel the same way. It feels to me like consensus would be that Ja'Marr Chase is the one that's generated the most redraft hype.
Yes.
DeVonta Smith in this mock, 86th, 87th, 88th, so end of the 9th round, close to where his ADP is, which is 90th overall on ESPN. Is there not a Justin Jefferson, because Justin Jefferson literally was historic last year, but is there a wide receiver that you're saying to yourself, you know what, I don't care where he was drafted, I care about the position he's in, quarterback he's playing with, that intrigues me most, and the skill set?
From a rookie standpoint?
Yeah, rookie wide receiver. Is it Ja'Marr Chase? Is it Jalen Waddle? Is it DeVonta Smith?
You're gonna think I'm
Elijah Moore?
Listen, Elijah Moore is really interesting. I think Rashad Bateman is really interesting in Baltimore, especially because Marquise Brown dealing with a hammy injury yesterday. So and Rashad Bateman, obviously you're hearing raves from camp. Terrace Marshall in Carolina is drawing raves as well. He's really interesting.
Is Rashad Bateman going to be the number one wide receiver in that offense?
I think Rashad Bateman, I mean, I still think Mark Andrews is probably the number one pass catcher in terms of for fantasy value, because I think he's got more red zone look. But, I mean, we're all, the three of us and Mike Clay, along with, like, you know, Stefania and Kyle and everyone, we're all in a dynasty league together, and I had a choice between Terrace Marshall and Rashad Bateman in the second round, and I went with Rashad Bateman, which I'm not sure, like, but I struggle with that. I went backward and forth.
Right choice for sure.
I really like, but I just like Bateman's talent quite a bit. Yeah. Marshall's talented, too, but those guys, and you guys are going to call me a homer, too, but I'm really interested to see what happens with Dyami Brown over the second half of the year in Washington.
Yeah, very fast, that much is for sure. Mike, how
about
you?
And I know you like Amari Rodgers quite a bit.
I do like Amari Rodgers a whole lot, although that flame has been not quite doused, but it's sort of a flicker right now, given the fact that they traded for Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Randall
Cobb.
Yes.
Mike, let me ask you quickly, as we have about a minute left in this show. Is there a rookie wide receiver that you think you are interested in, or are you going to go with the strategy of, if I play in 8 different leagues, I might have one bit of exposure to Ja'Marr Chase here, one of DeVonta here, one of Jalen Waddle there. Does that make sense? Which way are you leaning?
It totally depends who's available, right? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is going as high as the 5th round. I mean, DeVonta Smith, he can get in the 8th round of 12-team league. So, look, I think last year we talked about which rookie wide receiver has the clearest path to a huge target share. The answer was obvious. It was Justin Jefferson. This year, it's DeVonta Smith. So I agree with you. He's not going to produce at that level, but he has the chance to push for a 25% target share at some point this season. And history says receivers picked in the top 10 do a ton of damage. I won't get into the stats because we're low on time, but we can do that another time. Those guys, the 3 receivers picked in the top 10, it doesn't happen often. I think if you can get your hands on them in the occasional draft or two, it's a good strategy.
It's going to be a fascinating year for rookie wide receivers. There are plenty that we're excited about, including obviously a pass catcher in Kyle Pitts, who's a tight end who could have the biggest impact.
I do think the success of Justin Jefferson last year will skew people to overdraft rookies.
No doubt about it.
Which is one of the concerns, because there's a lot more rookie wide receivers that didn't produce.
Yes.
You know,
Henry Ruggs, Jalen Reagor, we're looking at you, amongst others.
Yes.
All right, so we're back tomorrow. And for those, again, that are new to this year, hopefully there are plenty of you that are joining the podcast for the first time. We do something called Double Trouble. We preview two teams per show, sometimes even three if we get really spicy, and we go in depth on them. Tomorrow we will open that up, which is very exciting. So we cannot wait for Double Trouble. That's going to do it for today, though. As I said, thanks for watching Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. As I said, Double Trouble, Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. You are officially on the clock.
For Field, Mike, and Daniel, I'm Matthew. Peace out!
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.